So Governor Lamont announced that he signed an executive order, number 26-3, calling for the development of a strategic plan to reform the funding streams used to support the operations of Connecticut's K-12 public schools, saying that our current system, the formula we use, also known as ECS, education cost sharing, it was developed several generations ago. He calls them outdated. He says they need to be updated to reflect school districts' current day needs. Agreed. Here's my issue with it. It doesn't equate, though, to immediate money going to all the districts that they so desperately need and have been calling for, quite frankly, since 2013, when they were last updated. Joining us now to talk a little bit more about this is Kate Diaz, president of the Connecticut Education Association and one of our education experts here on the show. Kate, welcome back and thank you so much for weighing in on this.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity. You know, you really kind of nailed it where we haven't been doing what we need to for schools. And while the commission here, that this executive order is a really good step in terms of a vision, it doesn't solve today's problem. And so I agree with you. We've got to continue to put pressure on the legislature and the governor to put money directly into the school systems today.
And look, I think, you know, there is something to be said about where is the money going, right? In fact, we had Governor Lamont on the show earlier this week, and he said exactly that, you know, because I had brought up ECS funding specifically, and I think he probably, you know, knew he was going to have this announcement. I just want to play for people really quickly. This is what Governor Lamont said, why he feels a commission in particular is important and really knowing where the money is going. Take a listen.
Melissa, the other thing we're taking a look at is we spend more education dollars outside of the classroom than almost any state in the country, you know, for good reasons. Every town does their own thing. They all have their superintendents and deputy superintendents and purchasing and IT, and everybody replicates that 169 times. So one of the things we're trying to look at is not just how much more money we put into education, but how we can make sure that money goes to the classroom and not overhead.
So I get it. Right. I mean, I get that. And I think that that's a good thing. Right. You want to have transparency. You want to have clarity. You want to know that we're putting dollars when you're talking about millions and millions and millions that, quite frankly, every school district asks for, some for one or two million, others for tens of millions of dollars like a Bridgeport. You want to know where that money's going. I totally get it. And I think that's a good idea. I guess I have a two parter here, Kate Diaz. One, why now? Because correct me if I'm wrong, as I mentioned, ECS funding has not been adjusted since 2013. Why now ask for a commission to look at where the funding is going? I mean, the time should have happened a long time ago. And right now, we really need the dollars. We don't really need to wait until January of 2027 to just get a plan from the commission before we even see some dollars on the table.
So I think there's been a mutual interest on the parts of the cities and towns, the mayors, as well as the education community. So I think we've seen a broader coalition of interest groups, which has necessitated a response today. I also think we are in an election cycle, right? So everybody wants to put a lot of pressure on people who are up for election to do the things that we want them to do. So I think there's sort of a double edge on that. But I do think we've seen a larger, broader coalition all kind of saying the same thing that can't be ignored. And I do think getting CCM, the municipalities and the cities involved, has been kind of that extra factor of saying we all can't do this. Mm-hmm. There's no way to make up the difference. And so now I think there's just been sort of the right amount of pressure. I wish, like you said, 2013 would have been a great time. You know, we stopped our foundation grant from growing in 2013 and then patted ourselves on the back that we were fully funding education, but we were doing it in 2013 dollars. And that just hasn't kept pace with the needs of our communities. And so we're going to continue to push. And we have heard that there's going to be money directed to the municipalities for education in this session. The governor alluded to it yesterday. You know, we've heard everything from 100 million to 300 million and every number in between. And so we're going to be looking to continue to push that and that it goes directly into ECS so that it's a long-term commitment. It's not a one-stop, here's some money today. We need this to be the ongoing commitment. And I think that we do have the opportunity with this group to think about where are the opportunities to do shared services, Where is there overlap that we can support each other in our communities? We already have some municipalities that are doing that work. So we do have some internal places to learn from and to put some incentive to do this stuff. Like one of the things that they mentioned yesterday was health insurance and moving more people to the state insurance plan. And I understand that desire, but we have to realize what are the challenges and the barriers. And so there's good work to talk about there to try and incentivize people to do this and get them kind of the cost savings that will allow more dollars in the classroom. Because I couldn't agree more with the governor. When we talk about student performance, dollars in the classroom, teachers, making sure that we have what we need, driving down class sizes, those are the things that change student outcomes.
Yeah, well, and like he said before, the amount of money we spend outside the classroom, immediately in my mind, Kate, which I know you and I, we've talked about this many, many times, is special education. I mean, the amount of kids that get placed outside their own districts, let alone outside the state of Connecticut, it's insane, the amount of money we spend.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things we're trying to figure out is how can we do more servicing in our school districts, but that requires money. And the way we fund special education right now with a makeup payment, as opposed to, you know, putting dollars into the municipalities in the front end, creates a real deficit funding, you know, mechanism for special education. So I do think that's got to be a top priority to figure out how to get money to the districts so they can meet those students' needs in the districts as opposed to sending them out to third parties. I think we've seen some successes with our regional education centers, with our special education centers, that we should be kind of considering. That keeps kids within our state-funded system so that we're not talking about going into third-party vendors that right now don't even have caps on what they can charge us.
Kate Diaz is here, president of the CEA, the Connecticut Education Association, which is the largest teachers union in the state. And Governor Lamont made a big announcement this week. He just signed an executive order calling for the creation of a blue ribbon commission on K-12 education funding and accountability. So this commission has to conduct a comprehensive review of all education funding in Connecticut and then provide the governor and the General Assembly with recommendations on how the system can be improved. The executive order requires the commission to submit its strategic plan by January 15th of 2027. And quite frankly, Kate, both sides of the aisle welcomed this. In fact, I was reading House Republican Minority Leader Vin Candelora put a statement out there, and this has nothing to do with, this shouldn't be partisan. I think we all should be focused on education and the well-being of our kids. We should keep Connecticut in a good place, all of that. But I agree with what Mr. Candelora said, which is I applaud the governor for prioritizing this. I think it's great that we're going to make sure that our dollars are going to the right place, that we're spending effectively. However, we need money now. We need it now. And to me, what I worry about, to echo something you said before, is yes, it is an election year. This is a fantastic headline. Governor Lamont prioritizes education funding. But if people don't dive into the details, this doesn't necessarily result in dollars for districts, which is really what they've been calling for since the beginning of the legislative session. Well, before that, certainly, but they've been calling for money at the end of this school year to be ready for next school year. I mean, the school budgets everywhere are getting cut.
Yes, absolutely. And we have been advocating alongside all of our kind of municipal partners that we have to get money now because we're talking about cuts to positions. And, you know, like it or not, we're talking about the paraprofessionals and the teachers that serve the children on the ground. Those are the first line of cuts that always come through. And that's really the problem that we're faced with is absent some of these immediate kind of dollars, we're going to be talking about cuts to student experiences and cuts to what we're able to offer the children of Connecticut. And I think that's our concern and has been one of the pushes that we've all been saying is you still have to make a commitment today that impacts, you know, our immediate future with our students. So I think that message has been heard. I mean, I don't know what the dollar number will be. I know the governor talked about the $500 million in affordability money that they've set aside to kind of distribute through some sort of rebate programming. And so while that's not a long-term thing, it will get us something today that we can use it as leverage in the future that, you know, become sort of the floor of expectations in the future. I don't think we're going to get the full $500 million. I think there's interest in doing a variety of sort of relief efforts, given all of the high costs of, you know, energy, housing, you name it, we've got it. And so I think we're going to be a shared interest, but I think dollars need to be sent to all of the school districts across the state. And as you alluded to, we have some real high needs districts that may need a specialized discussion, but dollars need to be sent into every municipality. We're hearing about cuts in Southington, you know, Bethel's been struggling. We know that this has been across the board a conversation. And so we know that every penny counts in every single district.
Well, and I think it's important also to note that when you hear $500 million, that's really not even close to scratching the surface. And to your point, Kate, that is all not going to go to education. There's no way.
Right.
I mean, so this is just so people know, when we talk about $500 million, this is the $500 million affordability fund that was, you know, given to the governor over a year ago now. And it's basically, you know, some of it has to do with the federal government cuts and what we're just seeing here in the state. And so this is $500 million that was set aside. Governor can do what he wants with it. And granted, I'm glad that he's going to give some of it to education. But let me just give people an idea. OK, so if you were to just take three of our biggest cities, we'll go top, middle and bottom of the state: Hartford, New Haven and Bridgeport. OK, if you look at what they're asking for right now, just to meet quota, just to get to where we should be at 2026 in the classrooms for those districts, Bridgeport needs $106 million just to kind of break even. OK, Hartford's asking for close to $75 million, and New Haven as well, multi-million dollars, because again, I don't have the exact number here, but I was reading something like $250 million or so. I mean, it's a lot. So between just those three districts, you're looking at $433 million. Just three out of 169 municipalities. And you know that those districts are going to be prioritized, which I understand they will. But how do you look at some of the ones you just mentioned? How do you look at even a Fairfield who had to see a cut? Or you look at a Stamford that still needs it? How do you look at these districts and go, sorry, we need to do more for these? And I'm not saying the need isn't great. It is. But how do you tell other students that they don't matter as much?
Yeah, I don't think you can. I think that we're in a space right now where they have to figure out how to get everybody assistance. I think that it's going to be very difficult to fill the entire gap in the Bridgeport, Hartford, and New Havens.
Mm-hmm.
I think that under the affordability dollars, that the distribution of that needs to go equitably across the state, because it's devastating to think about, you know, $3 million in a smaller community has the same impact as $100 million in Bridgeport, right? Like, we have to remember that these things are felt differently in these different communities. And so I don't think we can look at anybody and say, it's not your year. I think we have to find a way to say, you know, perhaps it's about a percentage increase across the board that says, listen, everybody's going to get X. And then in sort of these crisis situations, we're going to talk about what we're going to do specific to those. But I think we cannot afford to only support and only assist a few districts. This is a moment in time where the hurt is being felt across the state in every single community, and we have an obligation to address that.
Yeah, certainly. So really quick, Kay, I don't know if you're allowed to share this, because I know they're still developing the team. Are you on the Blue Ribbon Commission or no?
Yes, I am. I was appointed to it. I don't know the full team, but I'm excited to be a part of it. I am really grateful for the opportunity to kind of influence this, because I think that part of the conversation is going to be, what are our education priorities and how are we assuring those get funded? So I am really happy to be a part of that team.
Wow. And I legitimately didn't know that answer, because I got to be honest, Kate, I asked two other people who I felt very confident would be on this commission yesterday if they're on it, and they said no. So I honestly was kind of, that was a shot in the dark, but there you go. All right, cool. Well, congrats. I think that's great. I'm glad to know that you're on this, because you have such obviously insight and perspective, and you are hearing from the teachers across the state of Connecticut who are seeing it in the classroom and can really advocate
for
this. Well, thank you, Kate. Wow. I love when things like that work out. Third time's a charm, you know? That's fantastic. Wow. Okay. Keep me posted, Kate. I know you will. Keep me posted.
I will, certainly.
Yeah, because we got to track this, obviously. And we're down to just a few more weeks left. And certainly, I would love to know the breakdown of what, if any, money from that $500 million is going to go to schools and who's getting it. So thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you, Melissa.
Appreciate you. Kate Diaz, again, the president of the Connecticut Education Association. And she is part of this new blue ribbon commission on K-12 education funding and accountability. How about that?